be seated. Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we got trouble. We got trouble right here in River City. And that starts with T and it rhymes with P and it stands for Paul. Paul is ticked off. I don't know if you caught just how much in the lesson there. He is furious. Somebody from Jerusalem has come to his church and is starting to preach something different than Paul was preaching. And even the way the letter begins, right from the very first verse, we see that Paul's apostleship, his authority, is being challenged. And normally we want to get to the good stuff, we kind of skip over the introductions. But in Galatians, it's very important, the introduction. And so it is in Paul's lesson. He begins by saying this: Paul, an apostle, called or sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. And you could just hear, here are these others who were sent by human commissions. They were sent by the church in Jerusalem. They were sent to impose Jewish standards upon this Gentile congregation. And Paul was not going to have any of it. And so Paul says, I am an apostle, and I'm not sent by any church, by human beings. I was called by God himself. So listen to me, because my gospel isn't sent by human beings. My gospel comes directly from a revelation that I had from Jesus Christ himself. Now, Paul needs to do this because even though we just accept his apostleship today, in his day, it was challenged. Because if you remember in Acts, when they replaced Judas, who had died, with Matthias, there were criteria for being elevated to an apostle. And part of that criteria was that you had been with Jesus his entire earthly ministry, that you had witnessed his death and his resurrection. And so that was the criteria when they chose Matthias to replace Judas. And when you look at Paul, you go, Paul wasn't with Jesus. Paul never knew Jesus at all in his earthly life. Paul wasn't there at the resurrection or at the crucifixion. And so these people coming from outside said, how can you trust Paul's authority? He's not an apostle. And Paul says, I am an apostle because I did see Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. He refers to it in our lesson today. It was a direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, he tells that old story. The resurrected Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus. And knowing Paul, being as zealous as he is, I'm sure he said, you know, and I'm the greatest of the apostles because I'm the last one to see Jesus. I saw him after all the rest of you saw him. He appeared to me and told me to go preach the gospel. And so this letter, when you first read it, you may not realize there's a lot of conflict going on. There's a lot of Paul having to say, I am an apostle. And even though I'm not sent by the church from Jerusalem, where Jesus' brother James and Peter, the staunch apostles, are, I still am an apostle, and my teaching is authoritative. And all that is all part of just that first verse. Paul, an apostle, sent not by human conditions or commissions or by humans, but directly from God. So there. Well, Paul then gives us a glimpse. What is the issue? If there he's being challenged, what is the issue that's dividing the church, that's causing the conflict? And right there in verse 4, he goes on to say, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to set us free from this present evil age. And the whole letter of Galatians is a letter about freedom. What does it mean for Jesus to set us free? Well, at the basics and where we all agree on, we're set free from our sins, it says. We're set free from condemnation. We're set free from fear because Jesus has died for our sins upon the cross, and that sets us free. And particularly in that age, not only the Jews but other religions, you offered sacrifices up to God, and you were always worried, did I do enough? Did this sacrifice appease an angry God? And so you were always concerned, have I done enough? And now Paul comes along and he says, God has done enough. God has set us free through Jesus Christ. His sacrifice is good for all sins of all times. They're done. They're covered. They're forgiven. So you are free from condemnation. You are free from the power of sin. And so that's the first thing that Paul is saying there. And this next thing that follows through on that and that unfolds in the rest of this letter is you don't have to be Jewish to be Christian. You're free from the law as the Jews practiced it. And one of the key things, and we get into it later, is circumcision. The people from Jerusalem were telling the people in Galatia all the men had to be circumcised if they wanted to be Christian. And they had to follow the Sabbath laws, and they had to follow the Jewish customs and laws, and then they could be Christian. And Paul, I mean, he's literally ballistic in this letter. No, what they're teaching is a false doctrine. You don't have to do those things to be free in Jesus Christ. All you have to have is faith in his grace, because through his death on the cross, you are free from everything else. And so that was the fundamental issue that Paul puts forth in this letter. Salvation is a free gift of God. You're not required to follow all the laws of the Old Testament, the laws of circumcision, the laws of the Sabbath. And it's a good thing Paul was just as zealous in speaking out against these people from Jerusalem as he was zealous when he persecuted the church. Because had Paul not won the day on this issue, I don't know how many adult men would have converted to Christianity. We would have had a whole different Christianity if Paul had not won the day, if God had not indeed, as God did, call him to proclaim this gospel of freedom in Jesus Christ, that we don't simply have to be Jews before we become Christians. Well, fortunately, that false gospel is not an issue anymore. There's not a single church in the world, Christian church, that says men have got to be circumcised, that we have to obey the Jewish law. But there are still false gospels out there, and we still need to be faithful to the gospel of Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that as he set forth in the very beginning of this letter, that Jesus Christ has set us free from our sins, free from this present evil age. Well, what are some of the false gospels that are out there? Well, anything that says you have to do this in order to be saved. You know, in the Pentecostal church, some of the Pentecostals, not just charismatic, will say you have to speak in tongues to be saved, that without that, you're not really a Christian. And you say, that's setting a standard in addition to the gospel of Jesus Christ as a standard for salvation. I remember growing up in the South and hearing preachers on the radio saying, and if you go to dances, and if you watch movies, and if you watch or listen to Elvis Presley or rock and roll, you're going to hell. And literally said, that's a standard that's going to cause you your salvation. No. We are saved by the grace of God. There is no other standard that saves us, no other works that we do that makes us righteous before God. We're all sinners, and our hope and our salvation is in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. End of story. And so Paul is saying there are others out there preaching a different gospel. And he's so upset, he says, even if I came back, if an angel came down from heaven and started preaching what these guys from Jerusalem are preaching, let him be cursed. Let him be accursed. And that's strong language to say, to be cursed. It's using the D word. Yeah, he is very upset. Let them be cursed if they do that. Another heresy is the prosperity gospel. There's a lot out there that says, you know, it's God will bless you if you just have enough faith. And that the sign of God's, the sign of a strong faith is material blessing. In fact, there's even, I don't know if you've watched it, I know a lot of you know the Housewives of Orange County. Did you know there's a Preachers of Orange County? There is. There is. I've watched it. It's scary. It's scarier than the wives of Orange County. Because it's all this prosperity things. You know, if we just have enough faith, you know, and if we're wealthy, then that's a sign of God's blessing. And I said, didn't Jesus say, blessed are the poor? Didn't Jesus say it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Didn't all the apostles get martyred for their faith, not live in prosperity, but suffer? And certainly Paul, if anybody suffered, and you say, it seems to me that the biblical witness is not material prosperity as a sign of God's presence, but faith. But faith. And the fact that when we suffer, we have hope in Jesus Christ. So it's a false gospel whenever we think, oh, it's a material thing. And what it is, how many people have suffered when they're struggling and they're told, well, if you had enough faith, you would get all the blessings that you want. It's just, that's a false gospel. That's not what the Bible teaches. The other false gospel is that all roads lead to God. All roads do not lead to God. Now, in most religions have some level of truth. Most religions teach the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love others as you love themselves. That's not just Christian. You'll find that in Buddhism. You'll find it in the Muslim. You'll find that in Hindu. There is truth in most religions. But there is only one ultimate truth that leads to God. There is only one road. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross which forgives the sins of the entire world. And whether people know it or not, that's the source of hope. God died on the cross for the sins of the world. And while we may respect and care for others that are different from us, the promise is that Jesus is the way. The promise is he has forgiven the sins of the world. And what we are called, like Paul was called, is to let everybody know that. So that in this life, you can know forgiveness. You can be freed from sin and freed from guilt and freed from condemnation. So you can enjoy that in this life and continue to have it in the life to come. And so our calling, like Paul's, point to that central revelation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's on the cross that the sins of all people are forgiven. The true gospel, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to set us free from punishment, set us free from works righteousness, set us free to live in joy and peace.